glad that Jesus said, let the children come to me.
Wow. Thanks, guys. And I am honored, actually, to do this service, to have a little part of your service. This is pretty special. The angel said to the shepherds, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. I found out that joy here means cheerfulness or quiet delight. When the angels proclaimed to the shepherds that they were bringing good news of great joy for all people, it was cheerful news that they were bringing. The angel said that a Savior had been born, who is Christ, the Lord. His words began to unfold the identity of this baby. His mission, he came to save. His royalty, he was Christ, and his authority, he was Lord. What sort of deity was this, to be born as a baby? And what sort of baby would command the worship of the Magi, men of wealth and education, but would also beckon the wonder of shepherds, men who were rugged, who lived out in the open fields, who worked with sheep, and who were considered unclean? This was a king who had come for all people. The shepherds felt comfortable in his presence. They found him in a manger, in an environment with smells and noise to which they were accustomed. The Magi, too, were comfortable in this child's presence, a king deserving of the treasures they were bringing. This was a king child who would bring eternal life. One day, considering the cross, this king child would say, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. His coming had been announced throughout the years by many prophets, their words recorded in order to be remembered and one day pieced together and understood. Isaiah, Micah, Hosea, their words referred to someone who would forgive sins. This baby that was born 2,000 years ago is the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God who is worthy of all honor and glory forever. John, a contemporary and close friend and disciple of Jesus, explains his identity in this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not and cannot overcome it. And then John goes on to explain that this Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. John sums up his arrival and his identity like this: no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, he has made him known. And Matthew, another friend and contemporary of Jesus and disciple, writes that Joseph was told to name this child king Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And then Matthew confirms all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah: the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. But why? Why would royalty, deserving of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, come to a broken world, walk dusty roads, befriend a humanity diseased by sin? Because we are his creation, stamped with his image. And he came to love us back to life, to bring light into our darkness, to bring joy into our pain. The story is grand, dynamic. We, the broken, were his joy, his delight. We were the joy that made him, as it says in Hebrews 12:2, we were the joy that made him persevere, the delight that made him endure. His motivation to despise the shame of a brutal and cruel cross. He tasted death so we wouldn't have to. That is the great news of great joy of which the angels sang. On that night 2,000 years ago, a king was born who would endure a brokenness he did not deserve because he treasured a relationship only he had the power to mend. The king came to rescue, to save, to forgive. Ours was a kingdom of darkness, but he transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. He knew the road would be unbearable. He knew the world would be cruel. But he came to rescue what his hands had made and his heart had loved, to buy it back. He came to fill our hearts with the joy that only he can give. These things I have spoken to you, he says, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Our joy is found in walking the dusty roads of life together. When we place our trust in the only one who can save, he comes and makes his dwelling place within us. He gets our humanity because he lived it. Read the pages of this book and you'll find out. He knows what it's like to be a tween of 12, craving some independence. He knows what it's like to celebrate the wine and the fun of a wedding. He knows what it's like to grieve, to lose one's dearest friend. He knows what it's like to enjoy the delight and smiles of a child. He knows what it's like to be betrayed by those who said they'd stay. He understands the pain of a suffering parent and a broken son's heart. He looked at Mary from the cross and said to John, "Take care of her." He speaks to us in earthy pictures we can understand. He invites us to remain close. He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit." Welcomed into the life of his creation, his life ignites our purpose and our identity and our freedom. He knows the courage it takes to endure what's hard. And he says to us what he said centuries ago to those who were seeking satisfaction in all the wrong places, to those who seemed to be facing an impossible task. He says to us these words, "Take courage. Take courage and work, for I am with you." The Word who was at the beginning, through whom all things were made, who became as one of us 2,000 years ago, invites our trust. His joy becomes ours as we allow his words to become the joy and the delight of our own hearts. This is the joy of Christmas. This is eternal life, to know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent.